Blackjack Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to season 5 of the 4Jack Podcast, powered by our friends over at Galvin Green. Galvin Green is the number one technical golf apparel brand preferred on every professional tour. They're famous for designing high-tech elevated golf apparel for every golfer, male or female, to feel invincible under all conditions. Head over to galvingreen.com and get your apparel game dialed in for the 2023 season. A massive thank you to our community that continues to support and share in our success throughout season 5. You can expect more untold stories, more amazing guests, and a deeper dive into how golf truly impacts, connects, and is celebrated by many. This is going to be a discovery episode for me tonight. I know Derek and our friends over at Big Loud Music have had some great experiences on this property. But before we check in with tonight's special guest, we're going to head down to warmer climates and check in with the AGM, Mr. Derek Lane. What's happening? SoCal.
We are void the atmospheric river, Parksy. 9 weeks later, yes. 33 and a half inches, it is gone. We are scheduled for a little sprinkle tomorrow, but nothing that's supposed to be too much. And I think we are finally, there's actually a 7 in the forecast. So, you know, I've been in the desert and Southern California since 01, and I have never gone this long with no 70 degree weather insanity. But tonight's a big one for me. He's doing me a favor and he's doing you a favor. One of my peers, I really do believe that, one of the guys that I'm going to look up to. I'm now in a very similar role to my friend. I have a lot of questions for him. I'm thinking he needs to tell me I made a horrible, horrible decision in life. But we'll see if that's right or wrong. But I think that, like I said, I think my impact will be bigger as an assistant general manager, director of operations. But I'm not sure that I'm the smartest human being in the world taking this on. But that being said, big year coming up for him. We got a lot to talk about. And hopefully on this one, he does most of the talking, because not only does he have that beautiful Southern voice, but more importantly, he has a lot of knowledge and information at one of the greatest places in the world, the place I will be in about one calendar month for a full week, saying hello to him and bothering the living shit out of him. So excited for that.
Well, without further ado, we'll call this the validation episode for you, Mr. D-Lane.
Thank you.
The 4Jack Podcast is extremely excited to host a man that has golf and Northern Carolina woven into every fabric of who he is. Decorated golf professional who spent the last 11 years of his life helping to shape and refine one of the most coveted golf experiences in the United States. General Manager of Pinehurst Country Club, please welcome to the show, Mr. Ben Bridges.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Derek. Thanks for having me on tonight. Man, what an intro. That was really special, Derek, so I appreciate it. I'm glad to be with y'all tonight and tell you a little bit about what's going on at Pinehurst, North Carolina. You know, little small town piece of heaven. As you mentioned, Ben Bridgers, general manager of the Pinehurst Country Club. And man, it'll be great to have you here, Derek, in about a month. And about a month from now, I will be celebrating my 10-year anniversary here at Pinehurst. So pretty cool, pretty special. Man, really never thought I would be at a property like this. So, you know, I grew up in a small town, North Carolina. I went to school with about, I graduated with about 17 people in my class, if you can believe that.
So, holy shit, there's somebody actually smaller than me. I have 32. that is the best. Congrats. Yeah,
so little small town, man. I was really lucky though. My dad grew up playing golf, and my school, obviously kindergarten, middle school, high school, all in one area, right? So it's a but the best part about it was there's Northeast Academy in Lasker, North Carolina. But the best part about it was right next door was Valley Pine Country Club. And so every day for, gosh, as long as I can imagine, man, you know, I started playing when I was about 4. But I spent probably 300 to 320 days a year at the golf course, you know. So that's kind of, my dad introduced me to the game. Obviously went over there. Probably one of the only things I could do to skip school was play golf on Fridays, playing the men's game over there and bet a little bit of money with him. And, so that's kind of my hometown story. You know, it's literally an 18-hole facility, a little pool, a little tennis, and that's about it. But I met some great people there. All of my dad's friends played in the money game starting about 11 years old. Oh man, about 14, I was shooting 75, 72, you know, and trying not to lose his money. But you know, it was a special place. I love to go back there, me and him playing a two-man every year in August. And, you know, my best friend from home actually purchased the club and still runs it today. So Mike Ordnung is his name. And it's kind of funny. He'd tell you that I taught him how to play golf, and that's true. And but we've had some great experiences. And a lot of the people that I grew up with, man, it's you know, as Derek, you can attest to, it's just, you know, the people are what make wherever you are. So those guys are great. And, you know, I never once, I say this all the time, especially when I'm talking to people, but I never once really imagined I would be a golf professional, right, by trade. I went to a small Division II school and played golf there. And it's kind of funny. You know, I wanted to go to NC State. My best friend from college went to East Carolina. So I'm like, man, you know, it's, again, small town. You just want to go where your people are, right? And so I wanted to play golf. I really did. I mean, my high school year, my senior year, I had a good season. And I made states, you know, three out of the last 4 years and finished top five in 1A independent. And so I knew I could play. You know, I shot probably 63, 64 on the regular out there at Valley Pine. And so, you know, my uncle lived in Raleigh, North Carolina, and he lived beside the golf coach at Barton College, which is in Wilson, North Carolina. Grew up, you know, so it's an hour and 15 minutes from where I grew up. And again, small school. So, but anyway, Uncle Frank lived beside Coach Hackney's parents. And so, you know, they would talk about me or whatever. And, you know, John would say, hey, how's your, you know, nephew doing? And then they started coming out looking at me. And, you know, so I remember going to Barton and trying out. And, you know, if you've never been to Wilson, North Carolina, there's not a whole lot there either. But anyway, I got an opportunity to go out and try to qualify or, you know, play. And I think I shot 34 on the front nine. I only played nine holes. And then the guys I played with, they probably shot 38, 39. So anyway, I knew I could play there. And they gave me a scholarship to go. And so it worked out great. I didn't know at the time, but it was probably one of the greatest things that happened to me. Get to school there, play. This is great. Yeah, Derek, you probably don't even know this, but I shoot 73 in my first round. We played at Old North State, URA Point. And it's got three great finishing holes around the lake. And I shoot 67 in the last round, and I was down by like four in the first round, but ended up winning by four, and had no idea. One of those days where I got in the zone, and it was awesome. But it ended up being, you know, great experience for me playing college golf. And then I graduated. I'm like, man, what am I going to do? Right. So Mike, my buddy that bought the home golf course, he was living in the Outer Banks working for Club Corp. And so we were chatting. He was like, what are you going to do? And I'm like, man, I have no idea. I was living in the fraternity house. I did stay an extra semester, so I got a business degree and a human resource degree. But he said, why don't you move out here to the Outer Banks, get a job, we'll play some golf and have some fun. Okay, perfect. So that's kind of what we did. And then that's kind of how I got into the golfing world, so to speak. And then first job at Kilmarnock Golf Club in the Outer Banks, Brian Sullivan, his dad, and I started playing in two-mans out there in the Outer Banks since I was 16. So his dad, Bob Sullivan, and I kind of connected. And you know, I always said, hey, when I get out of college, I want to come work for you. And just kind of small talk, but kind of became a reality and did that. And then really worked the first season and got laid off. And I will tell you that probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, I had to go work for Outer Banks Furniture, moving furniture with the gang in the back, and no insurance, making $10 an hour, you know, and we had some fun. It was great. But one of the members at Kilmarnock kind of helped me get that job. But it was the best thing for me, because I knew at that point in time, I did not want to do that, you know. So kind of got me back. I ended up going and working for Mike up at the Curse Up Club in Corolla, Reese Jones course. Really great golf course. And like I said, that was Club Corp at the time. And so my time in the Outer Banks was about 8.5 years, worked at the Currituck Club and then also Nagshead Golf Links in the Outer Banks. So anyway, started as assistant, worked out as assistant at both clubs and got the head pro role. And My old boss left to go up to Piedmont, and I interviewed for the GM job at Nag's Head. It was kind of a co-job at that time, and they gave me one, which was great, at Nag's Head. And I got the job, and I guess it was probably, 4 months later, we had a hurricane. Obviously, the Outer Banks gets a lot of hurricanes, on the East Coast there. And it came through, and it's on the Sound. It's beautiful in the sunset, but the all the water got sucked out of the Sound by the hurricane, and then it came back on and flooded the golf course. And I was 27, 28 at the time. And I remember it was my birthday weekend. My birthday is August 29th, and it was like the 28th. And I'm like, a golf course is destroyed, right? So we got we took off 365 tons of debris off the golf course, build bridges, bulkheading back. I mean, it was insane. We were closed for like 28 days, but that opportunity kind of got me recognized in Club Corps because I was such a young guy, and I was able to kind of work with vendors and kind of get all that stuff done and get us back open. And really kind of it's like the low of your career, right? It's like, what the hell are you going to do? And then it became one of the things that really probably helped career me to get to Pinehurst. But when I got that GM job, they had Jeff Shepard was my regional director of golf. And then, my boss, Rich Nathan, had 29 clubs in the Mid-Atlantic division. And so, they kind of mentored me. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Indeed, just like you're probably thinking, what are you doing right now? But, they really gave me, I just latched on to those guys, and they kind of helped me. And in August of 2011, Jay got the call to come be the, vice president of club operations out here. And then he called Jeff in like, I guess it was October of 12. And so I get an email on my phone that says, hey, Jeff Shepard's leaving to come to Pinehurst. And so I didn't really think anything of it, but I called him. I'm like, hey man, Shep, what's going on, buddy? And he's like, Benny boy, that's what he called me. Benny boy, I'm going to Pinehurst. Then we're going to revitalize the membership. We're going to, update the members club. And they told me this whole plan. And I'm from North Carolina, right? So he's from Richmond, Virginia, and you're kind of all over. I just left a phone call. I said, man, hey, I'm happy for you. I'm going to miss you. I said, I'm from North Carolina, man. If you ever need a director of golf or you need somebody to come down there and work for you, I'll be happy to do it. And it was just kind of like, hey, just, by on a whim. And so anyway, I was at my girlfriend's house dating this girl. We're getting married in the spring of 2013. And about 3 weeks before I get married, Shep calls me. He's like, hey, Benny boy. He's like, we just fired our director of golf. We'd love to have you come out and interview. And I'm like, blown away, right? And so I've been a golf pro for 8 or 10 years and GM for a few years. And so I said, hey, I looked at my girlfriend. I said, hey, I know we're getting married, but I got to come out there and I got to go out there and check it out. So anyway, I went out, Jay rode me around the golf course number two, met Mr. Don Pageant, which is the president at the time. And just kind of, we talked through a bunch of stuff. And, at that time I was 32. And so they were like, they knew I was going to work hard and put the time in. And, I got an opportunity. And I remember, I drove back to the Outer Banks where I was working at the time. And, I had the whole FedEx thing and the offer sheet and everything. And so I called my buddy Mike, and I'm like, man, because I mean, really, I had a good opportunity at Club Corps. I was like eight and a half years into it. And I'm like, I got to take this job, And so, I started April 14th, 2013, and kind of the rest is history. I had no idea what was going to kind of, I'm like, how am I ever going to impact Pinehurst? And, we had back-to-back opens in 14. Mr. Pageant had kind of made the decision in 11 and 12 to renovate number two, kind of take it back to what it used to be. And, man, I tell you, that really, just looking back at that now, 12 years later, 10 years later, we're it's really set things in motion for where we are today. And taking Corr and Crenshaw coming back, they got pictures from the World War, what number two used to look like. And just did a phenomenal job, right? It was probably, so you know, I guess we would be kind of called like the Augusta of North Carolina at that time when we hosted the U.S. Open in 99. It was wall-to-wall grass. 05, same thing. You know, 99, Payne Stewart won with the putt on 18. And it was really him and Phil. And so it was really special. And then, like I said, after having two U.S. Opens, to have the I guess the balls to do what he did, man, it was would, you know, because it was not at the time, I don't think it was very well perceived, right? So how are you going to do what you're going to do to that golf course? And even in 14, you know, I think there were some negative comments about how, you know, we took off, gosh, 240 truckloads of turf off the golf course, put in all the wire grass, the sandy areas, native areas, and one line irrigation right down the middle of the fairways. And so that was kind of the start of the, you know, rejuvenation of Pinehurst. And so I came in 13, did the 14 opens, which were back to back, and was really special, right? So to have the men and the women play, Martin Keimer and Michelle Wee, two up and comers in the game at that time, to win was awesome. And so, but, you know, go through that. And then we, you know, we started looking at what's happening behind the 18th hole. We didn't really have a kind of a great after round drinking area, or just a place to hang and have lunch. And in 14, Mr. Devin had what we called the number two shop, but he turned it into a bar for his, you know, corporate hospitality. Basically, the entire clubhouse kind of goes to corporate hospitality. And so they kind of got the wheels thinking, like, man, this would be a killer bar, and which is now, that area is now called the Deuce. And so, you know, open for lunch and dinner now, and just a great spot to watch golf. Everybody coming up 18 of Pinehurst number two, and really just killing it. So, and then just kind of started looking at, okay, hey, we're going to build another golf course. And really, I think what Bob Devman, our owner, wanted to do was really take care of our core, right? So we decided to renovate Pinehurst number four and really make that masterpiece work well with Pinehurst number two. And so, you know, Tom Fazio had built number four or renovated it after Robert Trent Jones, and kind of made it, you know, an ode to Donald Ross, right? So small bunkers, but it was really more Scotland feel to it, and just didn't really fit anymore after number two. And so chose Gil Hans, and Gil came on site, renovated the putting course, which we called Thistle Dew. And him and Bob Farron, our director of grounds and golf course maintenance, said, you know, there were two holes right there in front of the clubhouse, the first hole of number three and the first hole of number five. And they just kind of started talking about using that area for a short course, because it was kind of the, you know, little, it was starting to be, you know, people were talking about short courses. And so, you know, Gil did the putting course, the cradle, and number four. And man, it is really, it's really set this property off. I mean, I would say, and Derek, you can attest to this, that cradle is probably, you know, you play it at 45 minutes an hour, but it's so much fun because you're hitting shots. You're out there socializing with your buddies. You can be out there with your family, your grandkids, and everybody can have fun, right? So if your girlfriend or your wife or whatever, they don't play, they can hit a few shots out there and get a drink and just walk around, and you got this beautiful view of the clubhouse. And so it's just really, really special. And it, that in itself has really made this place, because we've always been like a place where your grandfather could come, right? They would bring your grandkids, and it was kind of, you know, it's hard to even say stuffy, right? But it was just kind of like we were built on history, but we were still staying behind. And so now it's like we keep one eye on history and where we want to go and what we want to do, but also make it fun and make it feel like people can be here. And so it's been an amazing transformation. You know, I think having people here, obviously, and taking care of them is what we want, what we do best. You know, we just had David Stansel, who works down in the bag room for us. It was his 50th year anniversary. But I can tell you, that's in my time here in the last 10 years, it's been five or six people that have had their 50th year anniversary. You know, so it's kind of hard to replicate that, right? So the people that they've seen, the places that people have come from and really come back and remember them. So Frohlin Hatcher, Larry Goins, that worked the front door, you know, Frohlin passed away last year, but just been, you know, tremendous part of what we do every day. Right. So making you feel special and making you want to be here, And so those guys, you know, we couldn't do what we do without those guys.
Well, and I think one of the things you've talked to, and thank you for that, because it's people don't really understand, and no offense to Scott and Todd and Laddie and the boys, but if you go to Pinehurst, you're going to see 55-year-old guys in G4 and Peter Millar, and that's what you see, right? It's a very distinct crowd. Well, now it's not the case with the Cradle and people staying. Now, like, we're bringing 24 from Southern California, which is not an easy place to get to for us, but the golf now, you've mentioned four, one of my favorite golf courses in the world. Obviously, we talk about Congaree all the time. I see a lot of similarities between the two, but I think one of the things that we really forget about Pinehurst is just how many opportunities there are to have an amazing day, right? So you guys have all of the golf courses, the Cradle, Thistle Dew, all of those things, but let's talk about your membership. Let's talk a little bit about what it's like to be at Pinehurst and some of the things that go along with your job that just isn't taking credit cards for all of your guys' amazing merchandise and all you do, right? There's a real component to being in Pinehurst because the entire village revolves around what it is you're going to do. Now, there are other golf courses, but there is no other Pinehurst, correct?
That's right. I mean, there's a, you know, we've got a, there is some great golf courses. There's a lot of great golf in the area. You know, you've got Forest Creek as a members club. You've got Country Club in North Carolina. And then you've got us. And so we've got about 5,000 members. You know, it's kind of funny. What happens is people come to Pinehurst and maybe they come on the Golf Academy, right? So we've got Eric Alpenfels is our top 100 instructor, and you know, husband and wives would come to that, or just guys, and they were like, man, this is awesome. This place is amazing. You got championship golf. You know, obviously we used to have six golf courses, then added a seventh in the 70s and 80s. And then you've got number eight was our centennial course in 95. And then we purchased Pinehurst National, or Pinehurst number nine, in 2014, probably about a month before the U.S. Open. So nothing going on, right? So just buy a golf course and make it into our signature membership. So there's lots of different opportunities. You know, we've got 15 tennis courts. We got three hotels, and then we just purchased a little boutique hotel called the Magnolia. So making our fourth, you know, we just, the brewery, which is our old steam plant from 1895, which is right behind the Manor Hotel. And we got 12 new pickleball courts out at number six. So we got a little bit of it all over, right? So we're not where we want to be in fitness. And then, you know, number six still needs a clubhouse. But to be a member, it's a magnificent deal. You get to live in Pinehurst, right? So you can be a member up to 60 miles outside of the gates. But so my house is in Pinehurst, so I can buy a membership and pay 50% off the discounted rate. It's a pretty good deal, $60,000 to get our membership, and then the dues are about $600 a month. But you know, you get access to, you know, but depending on your membership level, you get, you know, one through six, you got one through six and eight, and then you've got all nine golf courses, plus the Cradle. So, really, really, really special place, as you know. And, you know, I think the challenges sometimes as a member is we've got, you know, resort are here on the weekends, right? So most of our members are playing golf Monday through Friday, and you know, there's some that play on the weekends, but yeah, it's pretty cool to be able to get a golf cart, drive around the village and go eat dinner and go to the bar and go putt, do whatever you want, you know?
In Parksy, I will tell you right now, I'm not, two is frustrating. So can't say anything about two. I don't give a shit what anybody says. No matter how I play the golf course, if I land it short, I'm long. If I land it long, I'm long. If I land it left, I'm long. It doesn't matter. But when it comes to the brewery, I'm your guy.
I saw your
it doesn't matter where you drop me off in Pinehurst with a blindfold, I will get you there in less than 4 minutes.
Yeah, I saw your face light up there. So I knew that pulled on the heartstrings for sure. Ben, we kind of blazed through your college career, so we're going to backtrack a little bit because you're a Hall of Famer.
I am.
So that's kind of a big deal. So let's get into that. Like, I mean, you got to have a certain pedigree of golf to be, you know, established, regardless of Div 2, Div 6, Div 9, whatever. I mean, you're golfing your ball out there, and it'd be a Hall of Famer for Barton. That's a big deal, man.
Yeah, it was pretty special. So, you know, like I said, started in 99, and then so we had a decent team right off and on, and then you know, I kind of came in as a freshman. Scott Lamond, who is he was from England, he was a senior at the time. Had a guy from Fuquay Arena, Sumner Alford, and then you know, a couple of the guys that we threw in there. And so we had a good team, right? So we made regionals my first year, and we had never made it to nationals. in the time, you know, and probably I say never, kind of in the we used to be NAIA and then moved into Division II. And so we made nationals my senior year. We made regionals every year. I won my first tournament. What I didn't tell you is I never won another one, but I had a good career. I finished third in my third one, and you know, all conference, all region my freshman year. And then I had what's called the sophomore curse, I guess, right? I didn't play as well, changed some clubs, thought I was hot shit, and then so I struggled a little bit, but made all conference the last 2 years. And you know, I think more of my golfing, I mean, obviously I would say I'm a good golfer, right? So I'm still under a 2 handicap. I can still get it around even though I don't play or practice. But I think it was more of just the total package at Barton, right? So kind of helped set the cement in place for what happens. I mean, they're having all Americans there now, and there are a lot better players that are playing there now than when I was there, but it just kind of right person, right time. And you know, Courtney Fairclough, who came in my sophomore year, really kind of became the one man and really played great. He's in the Hall of Fame, and so Coach Hackney's in the Hall of Fame. So it's really cool, really special, small town. Love to go back to Barton, and you know, I wish, you know, sometimes you wish you could relive those days, right? So I miss what I miss about colleges the most is those van rides with the guys, right? And picking on coach and going to different places. I mean, really, I'd never been on an airplane until I played at Barton. And so coach would take us to different places. And we flew out to Arizona 1 year, went to, he was a Carolina grad. So we went and saw Arizona State play Carolina at Arizona State while we played at Australia Mountain Ranch.
Yeah.
I was the only, actually, it was funny. You know, we had this, you know, coach is good, man. He's a good motivator. He couldn't play golf worth a shit, right? But he was a good recruiter, a good motivator, and he tried hard. But, you know, he used to always want us to get up at 5:30. And I went to the State Carolina game in Charlotte. I don't know if it was my sophomore or junior year, but what he gave, I got to the bus at like, you know, right on time, and I looked like hell. I'd been out all night. And, you know, he gave me a bunch of crap, and you know, so of course I gave it back to him. But I'm like, and I think I went and shot like 72, 71, 70 or something like that, and finished tied for third, and all the rest of the boys didn't break 80, you know. And I was like, I guess I can just go out as long as I want to, right, coach? Nobody can still beat me, which was not the right attitude, but. Anyway, so yeah, I appreciate it. It is a special time in my life, man. I love being from where I'm from. I had a lot of great experiences, and all those people really set me up to be able to do what I'm doing today, right? So just being able to talk to people, right? I mean, I think that's the first thing. Say hello, see how people's days are. What, you know, my job and our job, Derek, you know, is just to make people feel welcome and have fun. And, you know, people used to tell me, and I don't work as many hours as I did 10 years ago. But, you know, people always just say, man, how are you here so much? But really what truly makes me feel good when I'm at work. Right. So like I told you, when I was growing up, I spent 340 to 50 days a year at the golf course, sometimes playing golf, skipping school to play golf. And so I just feel comfortable here, right, with the people. And just, you know, and we've got so many great people, right? So we've got 1400 employees here at Pinehurst, all over the property, and it's really cool to hear some of the things that we do and some of the impact. I mean, I think for me, right, I mean, I'll tell you, so Tony Chapman, who works over the Dormy Club, he's the GM over there, good guy, he's a good player, he's got the gift of gab. And you know, he didn't work out here as well, because sometimes this place is different, right? Where we've got the membership, we got the resort, you know, you're ringing up a lot of retail. It's not your everyday golf operation. And so, but anyway, he goes over, takes a job over at Dormy. And, you know, I had our membership consultant come in one day, and we went over, and Tony gave us a tour, and I was just blown away, man. It was just made me proud, right? How engaged he was and how much he knew the property. And, you know, so you hope that you rub off on people a little bit, right? I mean, I think that's the goal, is, you know, leave it a little bit better than when, you know, it was before you, but also give the opportunity to so many that have worked underneath you or helped you, and let them spread their wings. And Matt Barksdale, who is now our director of golf, he's worked for me for 8 years, and man, he's, done an amazing job. And basically, so David Galinsky, who's over at number eight, he's our pro manager over there. So funny story, he interned for us. He's like, man, I want you to be my mentor. And, you know, and he's like, I want to come back to Pinehurst for my second internship. And I'm like, David, you normally don't pick your mentor. They normally mentor you. And then they, you know, it kind of goes that way. Right. But that's just how David is. And he's a great kid. But anyway, he was like, and he had this little pimp walk. So he's walking to the golf shop like this, you know, and I'm like, man, this kid needs some professionalism, you know? So anyway, I called John Wade, who I met in the Outer Banks. He's from Georgia, but he was down at Sea Island, got the job down there. And John is like the epitome of a golf professional, right? Just good looking dude, tall, always dressed to the tee, great player. And so I called John one day and I said, hey, I got this kid, man. And I was like, he needs some time with you.
Needs boot camp.
You know, he's got the gift of gab, but he needs some time with you. So it didn't work out. He got the interview, but he ended up coming back here anyway, which is great. But that's how I got Matt. So I called John, said, hey, can you get David an interview? He said, sure. We started talking. He's like, how you doing at Pinehurst? I'm like, man, I'm getting crushed right now. I was like, I need a head pro. And so Matt Barksdale was that guy, and he had worked at Pebble and has really came here and helped me. So Matt and I together have really made the golf operation here tick, and wouldn't be where we are today without him and what he's done with the pace of play and all the things from staffing. And so really, really cool.
Suddenly now, as I'm thinking, I'm talking about this. So I played, was looking to play with Ben and the Four Jack mascot, Paul Logan, and then our friend Mo. And so I line up the first time I'm at Pinehurst, and all of a sudden Moses comes to the first tee, and, you know, and obviously in Pinehurst, he's a big dude, but I'm like, he played quarterback for my team as a Gopher season ticket holder. Like, I know exactly who this is. And he was floored that A, I know who he was because he couldn't hide. And then B, I just didn't realize how big he was. I wonder why he wasn't better than what he was. But when you watch Ben, you can always tell in our business when somebody has it, right? You can tell by the tempo, the inside path, the little shallowness, the little 5 foot baby draw. And it's like, he hadn't played golf in 2 months, no glove, nothing, just walks out there. And it's not the world's hardest shot off of the first, but when you get to the second, third, and fourth, there's not a lot of room for error on two, right? They kind of give you the first hole and then they let you, all right, you got one, and then that's all we're giving you. And when we played, we had the greatest time, and it was such a good thing to do because for me, it was my first experience at Pinehurst, and we were there with the Big Loud guys for that time. And then Paul and I were leaving to go back to Charlotte to see Hardy. And then when we left, I just told Paul, I'm like, I'm pretty self-confident in what I do. I'm pretty fair where I've been. I've been lucky to be a lot of places. But I looked over at Paul and I said, he's really good at what he does, isn't he? Like, he's really, really good. And Paul said, bro, he's the I wanted to hear he's the East Coast you, but instead I heard you're the West Coast him. And I thought that was really something because I told Paul, right? Like, I'm like, because obviously we do a lot of stuff Big Loud and they're there. And like I said, we're friends with a lot of the same people, and that's how I got to know Ben. But the thing that I noticed, and I'm always this guy, always will be a golf professional at heart, even in the new role, but I always believe your golf shop is the calling card of the highest ranking PGA professional on property. That's just the way I believe. That's what I was taught at the quarry. It's what I've known my whole life. Like, if you walk in the door, that should be the business card, right? And one of the things I love the most about Pinehurst is their shop is, it's got this big circle of where you check out, but everything's got a knit. It's just got this little nick of things, and you go and you just keep finding more and more stuff. And before you know it, you come back and it's like, they literally made that Instagram account of the pro shop shoppers was made about Pinehurst because you can never stop buying things because it's not about the logo. It's about the options. And I was really intrigued on the soft goods side of this, because to me, that's where you really make your bones. And I will be the first to admit in the South, and especially the Southeast, you do have all of those brand companies sitting there, and that love for Peter Millar, which we have taught on in a couple of weeks, it's real, right? But the thing that I was that, and he talked about the deuce, but like, there's this whole, and I'm going to use your word, Parks, here, there's the whole synergy from the shop to the bar. Like, you have this kind of flow back. You see people go put the order, then they go back to the shop, and then they come in and have a beer, then they go back to the shop, right? So tell us a little bit about the monster that is the retail operation there.
Well, I mean, like you said, it is a monster. And, you know, it used to be, like I said, two shops there, made it into one. And then we've created an annex around the side, which we, kind of put some high-end products. But, you know, I think, like you said, Peter Millar is right in Raleigh. So it's so good for us. And then our director of retail, Laura Robinson, she is absolutely the best in the business. She's got her niche. She worked for Adidas for a long time, right? So she knew the other side of the business. Started out as like a golf shop, you know, retail coordinator at Number 7, which is, like I said, our private experience over there. Worked the 99 US Open. And just did a phenomenal job, and then left, which went for Adidas. And really that's where she gained her wings here, right? Learning, she'd already learned our side of the business. She knew this place. She knew the, you know, she knew the people and the players. And, you know, I think for us, it's really just been, you know, just finding niche things, right? So we're just in that time where everybody wants. You know, I remember when we were growing up there, because it's probably we were buying like the $3 ball markers, right? Now everybody buys the $40 ball markers and the $50 G4 hats, and, you know, the Peter Millar shirts are just flying off the shelves. I mean, it is just tremendous. And, you know, I mean, Derek knows this, Parks, you probably know it, but, you know, the golf before 2020 was kind of mediocre, right? And then COVID hit, and then it's just been gangbusters. And, you know, I tell our people all the time, right, how fortunate we are and to have our ownership just this put money back into this property, right? So his dad, Bob Dedman Sr., started Club Corp. And so Mr. Dedman grew up into the private club. They call it the worldwide leader in private clubs. And so you know, they wrote the book on membership, they wrote the book on you know, clubs. And so but Mr. Dedman put so much money back into all this to make it what it is today. And, you know, because I think after COVID, everybody wanted to come to somewhere, you know, play golf. And then, but we were not as cool in 2014, 2015 as we are now, right? And try to be humble with it. But it's just, there were not a bunch of guys trips coming here and wanting to come play golf, right? So, but the retail piece is just, you know, with what Peter Millar's done, with what G4 has done, you know, there's Stitch Golf, which is in Raleigh. I mean, it's just amazing the things that have happened here. You know, we were not very good. I mean, you look at somewhere like Sweetens Cove, right? They've done an amazing job on retail, and you know, so really, look, I'd like to say that we do it all great. We have. But it's because we've learned a lot of things along the way. And Laura has been, she's done a great job of just kind of pivoting and watching and learning. And our online stuff, our Cradle, you know, our, you know, first day of spring, we do the Cradle merch drop. And so just really doing some cool things with our stuff.
I got to say, I remember vividly watching Martin Keimer win, destroy the field way back when. And Pinehurst was sort of that best kept secret, maybe. I mean, Myrtle Beach was always kind of on the radar, Kiwa and stuff like that. But I got to say, there's been a real shift in the landscape of how we sort of digest content and how we build brand awareness and how we get introductions to different parts of the world, different golf courses, different people like yourself. We're going to share this with our audience and they're going to get to know Ben Bridgers. But talk to us a little bit about Instagram and social media and maybe the impact that's had on Pinehurst overall, because you've had No Laying Up and guys like that out on the golf course really featuring and drilling down into what the whole magical experience is all about.
Yeah, so you know, our president Tom Pashley, he's a marketing guy by trade, right? So he worked for Pinehurst Championship Management and has been with us for, gosh, I guess it's probably 25 years now. Started as a manager in training, and then worked his way up until vice president, and then succeeded, you know, Don Pageant. But, you know, I remember, and he tells the story really, really a lot better than I will, but we didn't have any TikTok followers, right? We've had our Facebook page was okay. Instagram. So, you know, really, I think he knew when we took over that we needed that part of our business. And, you know, so it kind of started, you know, in 14, 15, kind of slowly ramping up. You know, obviously the renovation of Number 4 really helped us with Gil. Gil was hot at the time. And then, you know, we got in with No Laying Up. I knew I was going to miss it, but, you know, there's the social club guys, and just kind of started touching our finger in it. And,
Anders Lang, was he out there as well? Is that
Rizal, and so Ashley Mayo, and so just kind of started reaching out and bringing people here and showing them the product, and not just the product but our people. I mean, I think, you know, I tell this in our senior leadership, you know, it's really a lot of times it's about right having the right people in the room, right? So look, I mean, I'm a golf pro, I'm a GM, but I'm a sales guy too, man. You know, so I'm selling the product, I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm going to the PGA show. I mean, I'm selling the dream, right? So Matt Barksdale, Eric Huster, Tom Pashley, Matt Massey, Laura Robinson, all of our leadership team, Ed Nicholson and IT, I mean, they're selling, you know? And so that's what we do. And so just being able to kind of get those people here, and then, you know, really, I think what's, you know, having all those things for the Cradle, the Deuce, the Manor Hotel, and just, because we used to have the Carolina breakfast, right? But in the Carolina dining room, it's just, I mean, I hate to say old school now, but it was. And so having the brewery is just kind of a hip place where people can hang out. The Deuce is kind of hip. And we didn't have all that stuff before. So why would you come, right? And so, I mean, obviously the golf is great. It is. But there's got to be more to it than that nowadays. And, I mean, you look at our competition, Stream Song, Kiowa, Pebble, Sea Island, you know, they're all, I mean, look, Stream Song's growing, Sand Valley's growing, Bannon's growing. But anyway, you know, then we have Riggs in 2020 that came in and spent 99 days at Pinehurst, right? So you're talking about, I mean, millions of dollars of marketing coming right out of our door every day. And I mean, that man's bought a house on Pinehurst number two. So that tells you a little bit about how special it is when he's been everywhere. And it is the best kept secret, right? And people are experiencing it now, and it's great to be a part of. But having that, his collaboration, working with Tom Pashley, and I mean, really just he's going out and playing. So it's funny, right? So we were part of the COVID crew. So it was me, him, David Galinsky, Brendan Armsback, and Abby Liebenthal, who now works for the USJ, who was working at Titleist at the time. A couple more guys from Barstool, but we were, you know, it was our little group. We call it the COVID crew, right? So it was probably 10 of us, and we'd go play golf every day. So it was 5:15. We'd go to the Cradle and we'd play until dark, and then we'd get to go food and just hang out together. So it was our little thing. But having him post every day about the Cradle and Pinehurst number four, number eight, and number two was just tremendous for us.
Well, and I think, Parksy, that's the whole point of kind of why when we first were talking about this, and I wanted Ben to come on, and you were gracious enough to agree, is that I just don't think people understand that there are these few select places, right? And so we all know I'm a Pebble guy. I just think it's an amazing walk, and on a Bluebird day, it's one of the most special walks in the world. I think Pinehurst is right there because the town supports the club, and the club supports the town. And you fly into Raleigh, and you do your thing, and you take the little drive. And then when you're there, you hate to be cliche and say Mayberry, but you just have this unbelievable feeling of just everything goes away. It doesn't matter if you want to go into town and have breakfast, they're kind. If you want to go to the bar, they're gracious. If you want to go and you have a question, somebody's going to answer it. And the local flavor of it all was what I loved. And so Paul and I stayed in an Airbnb, and it was set up for us. I mean, there's so many different people and so many different things, but there's no place or time where I didn't feel like A, we wouldn't get in, B, we weren't welcomed. But most importantly, I live in the world he lives in. And it's like, you just never ran into somebody that didn't stop, say hello, want to help or do something. And I think that's the core of it all. But when you get to the golf courses, people don't talk about four. Now, as much as two is two, I think four is my favorite golf course. Whew, I mean, it's right up there with Congaree with me as far as East Coast golf courses. I mean, I just could play it over and over and over. I never get tired of it, you know, and we were there and we played and it was a little humid and it was, you don't care because everything gets better every time you do it. And I think the reason that I really wanted Ben to kind of talk to the audience was very simple about you obviously hear his love for it, his intelligence and what he does professionally. We all know that. And if you do your work or any research, that's pretty apparent. But I don't think people really got me. He said two words that got me, in that senior leadership. And the minute I hear things like that in my world, I know everybody else has the trickle down, right? So obviously with Tom, the best of the best. And when you hear about guys like Scott Mahoney and Todd Martin and guys from other places talk about Tom, and Tom spoke when I was in the Peter Millar group and we went out and we were welcomed and got to stay a little bit and stay in Raleigh. And Tom was the person that spoke, right? Like, that's not elite company. That's the company, right? So that's the group to be in. And I don't think people understand until you go, because it's not overwhelming visually. You don't see anything spectacular. There's not mountains. There's not a coast. It's the experience. And I think what really is wholesome to me is that when you're done, the minute you're done, very similar to Bandon, you book again. That's the key, right? That's what he's looking for, is that comeback factor. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been everywhere, as have you, Chris, and we're blessed beyond belief. But the comeback factor at Pinehurst is truly unmatched. And as someone who's been to Bandon countless times and have billions of rounds, I'm telling you, when you could play four on a perfect day, I'm not sure it gets better. So, Ben, let's talk a little bit about your strategy on that comeback get. What are you guys really doing to kind of, obviously, your performance and your welcoming and all the things on property, but when you're done with that, how are you making sure that their experience, much like mine, is going to bring them right back to your door?
Well, I mean, you said it pretty good. I mean, before, you know, Pinehurst number two, it beats you up, right? And so it was one of those things where you come in, you play two, you play four, and you hate to say four wasn't memorable, but it is now, right? So you stand on six green and you can look and see 16 holes on the golf course overlooking water. It's probably the best topography that we have. I'm saying that, like, you know, number 10 is going to be pretty amazing. We hadn't talked about it yet, but you know, if you saw our social the other day, it has hole number 17. And I think one of the things that we've really done a great job of, and like Tom's texting me on Saturday afternoon at say 5:30. He's obviously been at the club. He's been watching what's happening on the cradle crossing, kind of the traffic, what's going on. So his pulse is there, right? So he knows when we want to see things, trying to make the experience better, pushing us to be better and pace of play and all the things that could affect you coming back, right? So but when you go play the cradle, you know, stay at the Carolina, we've been upgrading our rooms. We've got 60 out of order right now. You know, the Carolina lobby reopened, we got a coffee shop, you know, we're making things, like I said, keeping our history, using some wood, some all the things that we need, but making the experience better. So you couldn't say, hey man, the golf was good, but the rooms were just mediocre, right? Or it didn't really have a lot of places for dinner. You know, that's kind of the things that we used to hear. And so I think we listened, right? So we listened to our customer. Someone like Todd Martin and Scott Mahoney, who we really respect in the industry, telling us we need our products to improve. But kind of getting back into bringing people back. I mean, I think, you know, the merch drip, the Instagram, you know, it's like pulling at your heartstrings, right? So, you know, obviously we do the normal stuff. We do the survey, the thank yous. Depending on who you are, you know, you get a little bit better treatment than others, some gifts and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it's really just, we do a great job right now with social media and telling the story of what we're doing and what we need to do. You know, listen, we're back-to-back U.S. Opens in 14, and now we became the anchor site for the USGA, which, I mean, look,
huge.
It's huge, right? So we have a US Open every 6 years. We got next year, we got back-to-back in 29, 35, 41, and 47, right? So the USGA is building a golf house, Pinehurst, right on our property. So Mr. Devin, our owner, worked with the USGA, donated that land to them, worked out a total package and working with them. And so, you know, our history, when you look back at it, we were partners with the USGA, Richard Tufts and Donna Ross. And really to kind of, you know, Mr. Devin, they sold, and when I was working for Club Corps at the time, but they sold Club Corps to KSO Capital Partners in 2007, right before the downfall, right? And so, but, you know, they retained the rights to Pinehurst. So that just kind of tells you his dad died in 05 or before 05. And, you know, to keep Pinehurst, and when he could have sold it all, I mean, the guy's a billionaire, right? But his legacy is to make sure that his dad and what his dad loved stays here. And he's done it already. If he doesn't do another damn thing, he's done it. And so just to be able to put what he's done into the property, bring the USGA here, Anchor Site. I mean, I get chills even talking about it. You know, we were standing on
That's special. That's special, man.
It's special. And to stand on the, you know, I was standing on the 90 over there by the 91st hole where the putting green is, this will do, and looking out of the cradle one day. And I was like, Bob, you got to be pretty damn proud of yourself. And I'm sure he was like, what are you talking about? But, and he kind of looked at me like that. I said, Bob, I said, on Saturday afternoon, you look at the back of the clubhouse, which is by number two, right? So that's the members clubhouse, the members area. It's full, right? So we got lunch, we got dinner, it's rocking. And then you go to the deuce, it's full. And then you go to the putting green and it's 150 to 300 people out there. And then the cradle's full and it's playing music out there. And it's really become a celebration of golf and what this place and St. Andrews is meant to be. And I share the fact, if I had one place to play tomorrow before I passed away, it would be Pebble Beach, because Pebble Beach is, you know, they've got the ocean, they've got the history. It's just a special walk. The weather's great all the time. And, but you know, we're rivaling that, which is pretty amazing. And that's, I think that's what we wanted to do. Right. So, you know, again, like I said, if Bob passed away tomorrow, and I hope to God he doesn't, but you know, he's left his legacy for Pinehurst and working with the USGA and championship golf. And, you know, we've hosted the Ryder Cup, we've hosted the PGA championship. And now we're going to host, you know, tons of US Opens and women's and men's, and we'll probably do a junior and, you know, junior girls and boys and, you know, all the things. We're hosting the Adaptive last year and we're hosting it again this year. And really the inaugural last year was special just because it gave those people a chance to win a major championship. And one of the coolest things, and, you know, I talked about, you know, look, I mean, I've had a lot of accolades being here, but, you know, Jack Sklimmer, who is our pro manager at number six. So they're giving away the trophies and they're thanking all the Pinehurst people, and they announced Jack's name, right? He's the pro manager, intern for us. And the loudest roar of the day was for Jack, right? And so those are the kind of things that are special. Jack was our golf professional of the year this year because of that, you know. But, and then Jack's father passed away this year, right? So it's like, but he's loyal to Pinehurst, did that every day. And just, you know, we had a special moment at our Palumbo Cup dinner where we could give Jack the trophy. And, you know, he's had a great year, but also probably one of the worst years of his life, right? So, but those are the kind of things, man. Those are the experiences that we can provide here. And whether you're a golf professional, whether you come on a trip and with your family, the last round with a family member that may be passing away or whatever, it is. It's just one of the greatest places in the world.
I don't even know where to go from here. Like, that was just like the epilogue. That was, I don't know, really.
It's very simple, Parksy.
Yeah.
Let's talk about 10. Let's just put the cherry on top of the ultimate sundae.
All right. He alluded to it earlier. So, yeah. Okay. You set the stage. Let's do it. Let's talk about new.
Yeah. So, you know, I think for us, right, it's we own that land. And if you look back into the kind of the history, and not a lot of people probably know it, but in 2001, we were talking about building golf out there. And, you know, we bought the pit property. So we already, it's called the Jones tract of land. Robert Trent Jones is what we call it, because they were going to build the golf course out there in 01. And then the planes hit the towers and 9/11 happened and the world changed. Right. And so, really that place has been sitting empty for 20 some years. And we bought the pit property, which is a golf course. You know, it's in an old sand pit down in Aberdeen. And, so again, it's like, you know, Mr. Devin's got an asset sitting there. When you look at what we do day in and day out, you know, it's golf packages, and we're, you know, between our membership and the resort, I mean, it's crazy to think, right? So 9 golf courses in a cradle, we're packed to capacity, but we could fill 2 more golf courses right now, tomorrow. And so, you know, again, it's just really to get a chance to build a new golf course at Pinehurst is somewhat earth shattering, so to speak, and to make it into our world. So there's going to be 2 golf courses out there. I don't exactly know. It's going to be our 10th golf course is kind of what we're sharing. You know, numbers are in our DNA, but we have talked about what it would be called. But it's, we were really fortunate. I mean, we obviously were talking to a few designers. Corbin Crenshaw had a routing out there before we bought number nine. And that was going to be our ninth golf course. And so, but now we've been able to, you know, sometimes, you know, you remember that sometimes you, you don't always get what you want, but you get what you need type deal, that, that famous song. That's probably where this thing is going to end up. And so, but it's going to be, if you look at the plot of the land, it's going to be an east course and a west course, then a par three. If you know anything about, you know, sand and pits and stuff like that, the soil that's not as good, they call it the spoils. So we'll see kind of where it ends up. But we made a call to Tom Doak, or I say we, Tom Pasci, our president, did. And I think Tom's always been intrigued by Doak, and obviously Cor Crenshaw, they're phenomenal, right? I mean, the restoration, what they did is it, for number two, was probably one of their most special things too. And so, but to have Tom Doak come in and really Angela Moser, who is his right-hand person, leading the charge and what they've done. I mean, we've got probably almost nine holes kind of built, ready to put sod on, so to speak. And, you know, I don't know when our opening date's going to be. We've talked about next year before the Open, but I think we'd probably open it. We need it before then. I've kind of been dropping hints to Tom, and I know Matt Barstow has as well. So, but it's just, it's really cool. Kevin Robinson, who is the director of he's our golf course manager, manages all the properties. He's heading it up on our side. And he took us out for a tour, and the golf operation guys have been out there hitting balls on the 10th tee with a mat. And it's just, man, it's exciting, right? So, I think that's the one thing that you guys, obviously, you know, I bleed passion for this property, but I think the cool thing about Pinehurst is there's something new all the time. And I think that pulls people back in, that keeps people talking about us. And it's very exciting. I know Tom has been heavily involved in the whole operation. And really, I think he's so excited about it. It just kind of keeps us in the focus. And so, you know, I'm sure there'll be some rounds in there this fall, I would think, just because, you know, of social media, and we'll get the media out for it. But I think we'll open it in the spring of next year at some point, number 10 only. And then there'll be another golf course down the road, as well as the par three. So lots of great things happening here at Pinehurst, that's for sure. And really, I love being a North Carolina boy, being here, but I'm truly honored and humbled to be here. And for 10 years, I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you say pit, gravel pit, sand pit, everybody that's woke just woke up and they weren't paying attention to this now, you'll get all of that crowd running out for drone footage and all that other stuff, just let alone on whatever you're doing with that. But for me, thank you. More importantly, it's truly been a love letter. I kind of explained to Parksy earlier that there's just this thing you have, and whatever the je ne sais quoi is, there is just this thing. You just emulate, you bleed, you are what Pinehurst is supposed to be. And it was really important for me personally, and I'm so glad that Parksy was part of it, because it's such an unbelievable opportunity for the rest of the world to truly experience one of the world-class properties. And I really encourage people in this time of the world that's open again, all of these great things. And like you said, there's the Match Club, and there's Sweetens, and now there's Congaree, and there's all these places that are essentially built as an ode to what it is you do. And I don't really give a shit what anybody else thinks. All of these places that are now opening with this kind of cool look, they should all have to come and bow to the feet of Pinehurst, because it's where it all started. And if anyone wants to argue with me, they have our socials. They can come on, they can do whatever they want, because it's the truth. And what I want is for some people in this world to start absolutely being honest with themselves and talking about where this came from. And, you know, I'm the biggest Bruce Davidson fan in the world at Congaree, and I know what they're going with, and I know what they tried to do, but there's a little Friar's Head, there's a little lot of things, but there's a hell of a lot of Pinehurst, right? And in my world, I just can't stand when people don't really give homage to what they're giving homage to. And it's important in this world. And you're laden with tradition. It came absolutely, it was palpable in what you said.
Yeah.
And I hope the world takes the time to find a little bit out, save some money, spend some time, experience what it is, because as you said, there's going to be 10, 11, the cradle, an additional short, the putting. There's literally, it's sun up to sun down. So as we said earlier, if we're with Paul, I went out there, if you're with Austin, the guys that are friends of ours who've been on the show a couple of weeks ago, it's hard to get them to leave, right? Nobody wants to go to the car. And I, as I said, in my world, the only place I've really experienced that on the West Coast is Bandon. You just want to play until you physically can't play, or dark, you can't play anymore. It's really the only thing you want to do. And while Pinehurst has a bunch more options with the Carolina and the brewery and all the other things, I think that you guys have accomplished something. But I don't think it's coincidental that it is what it is now in the last 10 years. I think you have a big part to do with that. And I know you won't say that because you're you. I'm going to say it for you. I've already said I'm your press guy for as long as you want me to be. But I think that it really will come through with our listeners when they listen to this, to truly talk about what's possible. And I just want to say thank you for more than anything, because it is what you say it is times 10, and your humbleness is well accepted. It really is, but it's so much more than that. So congratulations on 10 years, but more importantly, congratulations on everything you're doing along with Tom and the rest of your team, Matt and all of the guys, to make it truly what it is. And God bless. And more importantly, good luck next year. You won't need any luck, because it'll show beautifully as it always does. I hope it's firm. I hope it's fast. And I hope it's absolutely terror on these guys, because it's going to be a great contrast for me, obviously, as well as I know LACC living in Los Angeles. I'm really going to think in my world, it's going to be like two back-to-back. I can't wait to see how different they play or how similar their play. Parksy and I've talked about this forever. I hope they go to you, and I hope they ask you how you set the golf course up, and I hope they set it up exactly like you guys would play it. I hope it's hard and firm, and I hope it's they don't water it for 6 months, because I think that's the only way that it's truly going to play, in our opinion, right? I want it to be that fast and firm, because I think that's what it needs. But I do hope that that they listen to you, and I hope a lot of people in golf, and not just this podcast, call your number, and I hope they understand just how special you are for our game. So thank you for tonight.
Well, guys, I appreciate it. I you know, we've always connected, and I can't wait to get back on number two and number four with you. Parksy, great to meet you, man. It doesn't sound like you've been to Pinehurst, so we've got to get you.
I haven't.
We've got to get you down and and get you here and check it out, because it is special. And you know, I really appreciate the time and the kind words, man. I do. I love this place. You can see it. I love being a golf professional by trade, and I love people, right? And so it's just a great combination. I'm so thankful that my dad got me in this game, and I wouldn't be here without him. And luckily to still have him and get a chance to play golf with him. And you know, I think that's one of the coolest things about golf, is you can play with someone that's 8-10 years old. You can play someone that's 80-90 years old. And, you know, it is an amazing game that you get to do so many things and be a part of. So I never in my wildest imaginations, if I go to sleep tonight and don't wake up, all the great things I've done, all the great people I've met, all the great places I've been because of being in the golf business, is it's truly an honor, man. And for you guys to have me on, I really appreciate it. Can't wait to see you in a month. We're gonna have a few cocktails and maybe get out there for the cradle. I don't want to impose too much on the group, but I'm going to.
You know better. You know there's going to be some amazing red coming your way. I've already taken care of that. So our sommelier has done an amazing job. So you'll be happy when you get that package in about 3 weeks.
Well, Ben, final thoughts for you. I'm going to take it back to the start of the episode when we said this would be the validation episode. And honestly, Ben Bridger's total validation today. What a gem of a podcast this has been. You've just painted this amazing picture for our listeners and myself included with that statement, because it's a property I've seen a lot. I've done a lot of research on, never been out there, but definitely it's on the list now for sure, near the top, and excited to share this one with our listeners. So thank you so much and continued success. And we look forward to a really, really interesting championship next year, like Derek says.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I appreciate it, Parksy. And like I said, we're excited for the championship. And, you know, last time when Keimer played, I mean, he shot 65-65. And, you know, you got Ricky Fowler and Eric were playing for a second. I mean, there was only a couple people under par. And it was funny. I got a chance to walk out a little bit with Keimer's caddy. And he's an Irish – bloke, and he was just asking, he's like, what do you think we should do around here? I'm like, dude, you got to putt it from everywhere. And Keimer made more putts that championship than I think. I don't have his exact putting stats, but I mean, I bet you it was somewhere around 25 putts the first two rounds. And to do that out here, to shoot 65-65, it's unheard of, man. And I mean, look, our course record, Tom Watson, Harold Irwin, I mean, they both shot 62, but that's when the greens were rolling like 8-9. You know what I mean? I mean, no wire grass. And I mean, it's just so firm and fast in 14. And for him to do that was just tremendous. And, you know, we're looking forward to it. It'll be the 25th anniversary of Payne's famous win. It's hard to believe it's been 25 years, but you know, that, I mean, I didn't really talk about that, but in 1999, I mean, he kind of put us on the map too, with that champ, you know, with that putt and grabbing Phil Mickelson. And, you know, it's funny, man. I remember I was in Myrtle Beach with my dad. They go for 2 weeks every year, Father's Day, we're watching it. And we had tickets to the playoff on that Monday, and we're both watching it. We had to play golf the next day. Right. So we were always playing, and, so we're both watching, and he made the putt, and we're like, damn, I'm glad we don't have to go to that. We don't have to go to Pinehurst tomorrow for that playoff, because you got the tickets, you got to go, you know? So, but yeah, it's going to be a special time to relive Payne's life and what he did. And, you know, you look at all the pictures that are taken out behind the 18th green number two with him just standing out there making that putt. And, you know, he kind of started the fad of the short sleeve vet, you know, rain jackets and all that stuff. So it'll be pretty special for us. I mean, if you're, for everybody in golf, right, to be able to celebrate him and this property. So we got to get you guys out here for the Open. We're set. We're done.
Done.
Wow. It's truly been a pleasure, Ben. Just awesome. I'm at a loss for words right now. Usually I'm good to close these out, but, it's been special, and truly you are top shelf professional. I mean, your passion is just, you know, it's fantastic. I love it. And your staff is very lucky to have you. So congratulations, continued success in 2023. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Parsi. Appreciate it.
All right, Benny. We'll see you in about a month, my friend. We'll see. Just take care. Okay.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you.
Take care, man.
All right. Bye.
See you.